Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.
I want to be speaking today from the 21st chapter of Matthew. And we've all heard the story about Jesus and his triumphal entry and why we have Palm Sunday and how they laid the palms down in front of Jesus as he came into town. Every time I study the Bible, there's something else that God points out to me, and it just jumps out. So you say, I read the Bible, I know the Bible. Well, you don't know the Bible if you've just read it. Read it again. Let the Holy Spirit be your tutor as you read it. And you'll find out every time you read it that it isn't just a book, it's a living book. It's alive. And it speaks loud. And when it speaks, you'll be able to hear, and your life will change and become more enriched all the time because of him and whom we serve. Matthew 21, our Heavenly Father, I pray as we enter this message that you speak to the hearts that I cannot reach. Lord, I pray that you help us to understand something today that will make us better Christians tomorrow, that will help us to walk the walk that we need to walk, that will bless us because we found your way rather than our way. And we'll give you the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. I think everyone loves parades. I know my wife does, so we go to a lot of them. We've been to New York to the Thanksgiving Day parade three times, maybe four. One time I stayed in the motel and looked out the window. You could see it real good looking down on. You'd be surprised how those big blow-up things they pull down the street look from the top. But anyway, I just didn't feel like fighting the crowd. But the first time we went, we got up around 4:30 in the morning. We were going to find a place right in the front row. So we went down to where they're announcing the parade, and I don't know what street it was, 38th or 39th. It's where the circle is. Anyway, we got front row, right at the rope. I mean, we were there. No one was in front of us. And the four of us, there we stood at 5 o'clock. There we stood at 6 o'clock. There we sat at 6:30. By the time the parade came, we were 5 rows back. Don't know how it happened, but in New York, people find a way to get to in front of you. And you can say no all you want, and they'll act like maybe they don't understand you or use some other excuse or send their child in front of them. We learned there were all kinds of ways that you can get to a front line. So we're 5 rows back, but we love the parades. And parades draw a lot of people to see what's going on in the community. You see your fire trucks, you see your utility trucks, you see your bands from the high school and from the college, and sometimes you'll see a winning football team or things like that. Amy, good to see you in church. You just had surgery. God bless you. Good to have you here. Amen. Anyway, in 1943, there was a parade in New York. World War II was going on, and the United States was just entering the war, and the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and everyone was there, Coast Guard. Everyone was in the New York area, came, and they marched down the street, and the streets were lined with people. 250,000 of those people didn't come back from war. And there was an older lady that was sweeping out in front of her store, and is a little bakery that she had there, and she was sweeping, and as the parade came, she saw the parade coming, and as the parade was coming, she popped that room up to her side and put her hand on her heart, and she watched as everyone went through the parade. And when the parade was just the last line went through, she stepped in behind them, she took that broom, and she started marching. And somebody yelled at her, "You're too old to do anything. What are you doing in the parade? Get out of there." She turned around and said, "I'm showing which side I'm on." Amen. Amen. Sometimes we can't do anything but cheer on those who are doing something. Jesus was coming into town and there was this parade. And he wanted to show them he was doing something. Let me just go through this and point out a couple things that I found interesting. Now, when they drew near Jerusalem, they came to Bethany at the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you." He sent two disciples. When I was a little kid, my job was to change a channel on the TV. We had three, and one was full of snow. So I had two choices. I didn't have a choice. Dad usually told me the choice. And we didn't watch the snow one, unless Bonanza was on, and then we would watch snow. Some of you know what I mean, and you take that little... Then I had to move that little aluminum foil that we had on the TV thing. You had to do that, and it had to be just right. You young people are spoiled today. That's what's wrong with you. You're just spoiled. No. Anyway. Lord help me. He said, "I want you to go and I want you to find this donkey, this colt." And I kind of was thinking about what was the disciples thinking? Maybe they're talking and said, "Why are we always the go-to guys, you know? And we're the guys that have to go after it. Remember when he sent us out to get something to eat, when he had all those people there, and we went through everybody in the crowd, and we only came up with a few loaves and fishes?" The other man said, "Yeah, but he fed everybody." Well, what about that coin, you know, that he sent us after with Caesar's head on it? He said, "Yeah, and you remember what happened then too." They said, "Maybe God's going to do something great here." And here's what he said. "And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately he will send them." He said, "I've already spoken to a man that doesn't know I've spoke to him yet. And there is a donkey and its calf." And he said, "If they ask you what you're doing, tell them the Lord has need of it and they'll just give it to you." They'll just give it to me? Who does that? People that the Lord has spoken to. That's who does that. That's how offerings come in. God speaks to somebody. Somebody shows a need, and the offerings come in. That's just how God works. God speaks to a heart before we speak to it. Roy Sambergy attended her church until he died, and Ruth. Royce had gotten cancer. And Ruth said, "My husband needs prayer. He has cancer." And I said, "Well, we'll pray the Lord heal him." She said, "You need pray, get saved." If you know Ruth, she was very point. And I said, "Well, we will pray that he gets saved." And I started praying he got saved. And I said, "I'll take somebody with me and we'll come over and see him, Ruth." Well, a month had passed and I'd forgot about it. And I'm pulling out of Toledo Hospital and the Lord speaks to me just, you say, in an audible voice. No, he just speaks to your heart. He is a spiritual God and he saves us and we become a living soul. Your body's going to die. You're not going to take that with you. You're going to have a new body, okay? Somebody said, "Thank the Lord, because this one's just about shot." I'm ready for a new model. So I go to Royce's house, knock on the door. They let me in. I talk to him about the Lord for a little, well, about the weather for a little while, and then about the Lord. And I said, "Royce, would you like to give your heart and life to the Lord?" He said, "Yeah, I would." Man, that's easy. So I went over and sat down with him and asked him to ask the Lord to forgive him his sins, come into his heart, save him. And then I took the Bible and I said, "See this where it says, 'Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord' in Romans 10:13 shall be saved. I said, "This isn't me telling you. This isn't your wife telling you. This is God telling you that if you do what you just did, he'll save you. And tears came in his eyes. And I said, did you do what he asked you to do? And he said, I did. I said, then no matter what the devil tries to tell you tonight before you go to sleep or next year, you tell him, here's my ticket. Royce lived for a couple years after that. But I thought how easy that was. And I moved from the couch and sat back in the chair. And his wife said, Royce, show him the letter. Show him the letter. And he handed me a letter, and I read the letter. Royce was retired military, and he had a friend in the military all through his service. They were drinking buddies, hanging out buddies. You know what the letter said? Just a short, maybe a paragraph or two. Said, Royce, I gave my heart and life to Lord Jesus Christ, and the thing you need to do right now is you need to get saved. He got that letter the day before I arrived, not knowing I was going to arrive the next day. Me not knowing I was going an hour before that. God always sets a path for you, and if we're unwilling to follow that path, we're going to miss all the blessings that God has for us. But that is the path of righteousness, and God leads us down that path. And here's what he said. Notice it says them. Let me go over this again. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughters of Zion, behold, your king cometh lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, a foal of the donkey. Them. He said, you're not going to take the colt away from his mother. You're going to bring the mother and the colt. Isn't it amazing when Zacchaeus up in the tree, that Zacchaeus went home and his whole household got saved? God didn't come to divide you. God came to multiply you. God didn't come to you to get you saved that it would cause strife in your family or your workplace. God came that you might bring peace to those things. The problem is we haven't learned how to live Christianity right, and we'd rather go out and fight about what we believe rather than have the peace that passes all understanding that God tells us to have. He rode a donkey because, why wasn't he riding a horse? Because he wasn't a king of war. Back in those days when they were crowned king, if they were going to war, they would ride a horse. Solomon, when he was crowned, he rode a donkey to say that I am a man of peace. I'm here to bring peace, and he bring peace to the whole known world at that time. Jesus is saying, bring the group, bring both of them, bring all of them. When you get saved, plan on your family getting saved, plan on your kids getting saved, plan on your grandkids getting saved, plan on the people that you work with getting saved, plan on everybody because God is speaking to them. And God was speaking. Zechariah 9:9, I just read, behold, your king comes to you triumphant and victorious, humble. Jesus was bringing the peace that passes all understanding. He was giving us eternal life. Do you know, if I said, for $100,000, those of you who are 45 years old or between 45 and 50, for $100,000, I can give you an extra 100 years of life at 45 or 50 years old. I'll guarantee you, everybody with $100,000 would pay me. And those who could scrounge it up, they'd sell their cars and their houses and everything else they had to get that extra 100 years of life. Jesus came to give eternal life. Eternal life. Eternal life. You tell me who would turn against that. Well, you say, well, the world would. Yeah, the world would. But it won't. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. So he's saying that in his presence, He will build his church. In his presence, he will draw people. He's already speaking. We just don't speak. And when we do, we'd rather argue than bring the peace that passes all understanding. Jesus said this in Zechariah number 10. God said, I will take away the chariots from Ephraim, the war horses from Jerusalem. The battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. I like the takeaways in that. When the King of Kings comes, he's going to take away the war horses. He's going to take away the bow, and he's going to break it, the war bow. He's going to take away, and he's going to proclaim peace and reconciliation. And yet we see church fights throughout the world. We see nation fights, and we see political fights. And we see Christians involved in every one of them. And that Christian flag needs to fly higher than any flag you got flying. We've been all over the world. God allowed us to travel. And Christians are the same in Argentina as they are here. They're the same in Brazil as they are here. They're the same in Germany as they are here. They're the same in Italy as they are here. They're the same in Spain as they are here. They're the same in France as they are here. They're the same all over the world. And if we allow that Christian flag to rise, we'll end wars, we'll bring peace. The bows of war will be broken and the war horses will be shut down. But we get into this thing where we'll sometimes fly that flag higher than that one. Or we'll fly that political flag higher than that one. Well, I don't know why the church don't get behind this presidential candidate. This is, you know what? God's already chosen it. Sometimes you get a bad king because you deserve a bad king. I remember when Jimmy Carter was running for president, and he said he was a born-again Christian. I believe he is. But a lot of the churches, I mean, they got behind him as churches. We need a born-again president. And ever since then, churches from one side or the other, there's a liberal side of churches, there's a conservative side of churches. And presidents have had churches backing them, one church or the other. The problem is, within the church, you see the entire church getting behind the political flag more than they are behind that flag. If we preach anything during a presidential election, it ought to be about the Bible, the Son of God, and the Word of God, and not the things of the politics. This is just good stuff in here. So the disciples went. You'd be surprised how good the breathing is in here without your mask. Just saying, envy your heart out. Okay. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. And shouldn't we always, if we're a disciple? That's one thing I find, wherever you find the disciples, you find them doing exactly what Jesus told them to do. So if you're a disciple and you decide that you're going to live any way you want, you're not a disciple. You're a disciple if you do what Jesus tells you to do. So the disciples went and did as Jesus had commanded. And they brought the donkey and the colt and their clothes and laid down their clothes and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down branches from trees and spread them on the road. And the multitude who went before him, those who followed, cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. This was better than any parade you've ever seen. When I was a young preacher, I heard a preacher say, the same crowd that was saying Hosanna in the highest was yelling, crucify him, just a few days later. I never challenged that until about 10 years ago. This may have been part of the group that got saved on the day of Pentecost. But you know, those who crucified him were the religious leaders and the Pharisees and those who he was going to mess up their job or their activities. He was going to make them change their lives. They yelled, "Crucify him." These people maybe remained silent. I've wondered Jesus' demeanor as he went into town, knowing he was going to die on the cross, knowing he was going to be beaten, knowing he was going to be betrayed, knowing he was going to be denied. And he looks out at the crowd, and he's riding this donkey as a sign of peace that his nation will bring. And he said, "My kingdom is not of this world, it's in the hearts of men. And if you have Jesus in your heart, he will bring you that peace today in this world that's in a storm and in a war." I think Jesus had a mix of emotions. And over in Mark chapter 3, verse 5, it says that Jesus walked into the temple and there was a man with a withered hand. And it says Jesus was angry and had a passion at the same time. How can that be? How could he at Lazarus' tomb cry because of their unbelief, knowing he was going to raise the dead? The Bible says in Mark that no one said anything because if Jesus healed him on the Sabbath, they're going to complain about him healing him on the Sabbath. And if he didn't heal him, they're going to complain that he had no compassion. So trying to think about how Jesus was feeling at that moment and at the moment of Lazarus, and he's coming into town knowing what he's going to face, but also knowing he's going to raise from the walk out of the grave. It might be like this. Your grown-up child gets married and you've raised them in church and they love the Lord and they know how to pray. But they marry somebody that hadn't been in church a whole lot. They come to your house for dinner and you're set down at dinner and the person they're married swears. You don't hate the person, but you sure hate what happened. You're not angry at the person, but you're angry at the sin. Because you want to win the person. You want to teach the person. I had a lady tell me here that her and her husband kept coming back because I sat with them at dinner on a Wednesday night. And she said, him not being in church and him smelling like alcohol, I was surprised that you would sit with him. Anybody who's been around me very long knows I don't like alcohol. I don't use it. I don't think there's a need for it. I've lived a happy life and saved a lot of money. Okay? So I don't like the alcohol, but I liked him. Okay? We can separate the sin from the sinner. And Jesus did that. Just as sure as he did it with the man with the withered hand, the Bible says they didn't say anything. And, you know, it's like watching CNN and Fox News. It don't matter what a president says. One is going to be for him, the other is going to be against him. It don't matter. They can say it's going to be sunshiny outside. They say, yeah, but he forgot about China. It's raining in China. You've watched it. That's the way the world works. So Jesus is going into town, riding a donkey, knowing that these people are going to be stopped in their tracks. Every one of the people that are there, but they're stopped in their tracks. There are over 3 million people in Jerusalem at that time. And Jesus, knowing that they're going to have to make a decision soon, do they accept him or reject him? Jesus knows that everyone in this room has to make a decision. Everyone that you come in contact has to make a decision. There's a story in the Bible, back in the book of Numbers, chapter 22. And it's about a talking donkey. You mean a donkey that spoke? Yeah. And Balaam is a prophet of God. And the king sent his son to get him to curse the troops who were coming up against him. He says, they're coming up out of Egypt like flies, and they're going to take over everything. And he said, let me talk to the Lord and see whether I can go or not. And he talked to the Lord, and the Lord told him, no, you can't go. So he went out and told them they couldn't go. Well, they came back, and they had more money and more offers. And he said, I think I'll talk to the Lord again. And he talked to the Lord again, and the Lord said, you can go, but you're going to say exactly what I tell you to say. I think the Lord said, why are you coming to me again? I already told you no. Well, they're offering more this time. So God knew his tendency to compromise. So he's riding the donkey and he's going with these men back to see the king. And his donkey goes off the road and he hits the donkey with his whip. The donkey pushes him up against a wall and he hurts his foot and he hits the donkey again. The donkey goes between two small walls and just lays down and he hits the donkey again. And the donkey said, why are you hitting me? I've been a faithful donkey for you ever since you owned me. He said, why are you doing this? And I look here because God spoke to me like that before, hasn't he? I mean, sometimes when you're talking to your wife, you'll get a little loud and you say, why are you getting loud? She's been faithful to you. Why are you getting loud when they've been, you know, it might be a worker that you work with or someone you work for or someone that works for you. Why are you getting loud with them? Why are you doing this? And you know it's God speaking to you, telling you to clean up your act. Well, anyway, God opened his eyes, and what the donkey saw before what he saw, there was an angel standing there with a sword saying, you're not going on. And when he saw the angel, he spoke to him. And he said, you're going to say exactly what I say. He's talking about children of Israel coming up from the land of Egypt, and they're propped all around there, and you're not going to curse them, you're going to bless them. Sometimes we do need a unique encounter with God so that we know on the path that we're on that we must take a stand and we must not turn. Jesus knew that he must take that path into town that was going to take him to the cross, and he must not turn. By the way, he went in and he looked at the troops and he said a blessing upon them. He said, you're supposed to curse them. He said, you can't do it. Well, let me show you another group. And he took him over and they saw the 12 tribes laying out there where they're supposed to be. And he said, I can't curse them. I'm going to bless them. Are you strong enough of a person that just because someone's your friend isn't the reason for you to do wrong? Are you strong enough, Christian, to do right even around your friends, even for those who try to treat you nice and are good to you, that you can tell them the truth and be honest? I think this man came in peace because King didn't kill him. The Bible says he went his way. He said, I told you I didn't come for the money. Jesus didn't come for the money. Jesus came to give us eternal life. Through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Eternal life. And we should be singing this whole week as we think about what he did. Hosanna in the highest. And peace on earth and goodwill towards men. How much dedicated am I to peace? When I talk to somebody, am I angry, wanting them to change, or am I just showing them Jesus so they can come the way I came to him? That's how it happens. And you say, well, preacher, a lot of people get saved when they're in trouble, yeah, because they don't have anywhere to turn, and they're willing to listen. That's that donkey stomping them right there so they can see the angel of God speaking to them. There are people that are sitting on a donkey in the middle of the road that laid down, that have problems and needs and trials that need you to speak the word of God to them, and they'll come. I pray that this week you'll be able to speak to someone and bring them on Easter Sunday morning next Sunday. If you're concerned about the crowd, come at 9 o'clock. It's about half of what we have here at the 11 o'clock service. So if you're concerned about that, you can come early. Let us stand. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. And Lord, sometimes it cuts us where we need to be cut, in the most tender spot that we have, because that's what's holding us back. So Lord, I pray for everyone that's here today. I pray for those that are here for the first time. Lord, I pray that you bless them. Those are here for the first time back after COVID, after a year. Lord, I thank you for them. May they be blessed for being here. And Lord, help us to enter into the fellowship of your church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.